Listening Library presents Summer of Stolen Secrets by Julie Sternberg, read for you by Georgina Marie. For Leia, of course. I'm sorry. That's what I'm sitting here thinking, Softa. I'm so sorry. And I want to make things right. It's strange. My whole life until now, I would have said you should apologize to me. And practically everyone would have agreed. Until I came to Baton Rouge a few weeks ago, you acted as if I didn't exist. I never once received a phone call from you, not even on my birthday. No letters either. No cards, no emails, no texts, no presents. And you're my grandmother. Now I'm in the wrong, though. Not you. I'm sitting on the yellow linoleum floor of your storeroom, across from the boxes filled with your secrets, wanting to guard them. I shouldn't know those secrets. I feel so bad about the way I uncovered them. I can't fix that, but I can at least try to understand you better and tell you more about me. Things I never talk about. I just have to decide how to begin. Here's something practically no one knows. I almost didn't go to Baton Rouge. I almost stayed home in Manhattan, the way I have every other summer my whole life. If Ruthie Dane and Amelia Ogden hadn't turned mean about a month ago in May, just before the three of us finished seventh grade, I would have gone to a bookmaking camp in the West Village with the two of them in June, then tennis camp in Central Park in July. I'd already signed up and everything. But they did turn mean. Mysteriously and thoroughly mean. It started on a Friday, the day before Hannah Arnstein's bat mitzvah. I know what you'd say, Softa, if you were standing right here. You'd say, "You must have a bat mitzvah, Katerina." But wait until you hear about this one. That Friday, they were mean from the instant they saw me, right outside Spanish class. We were the only three girls in that class. Every day for months, we had met in the hall before the bell, then walked into the room together. I always got there first because I'm in Math A, which is only one floor up. They're in Math B, which is three floors down. You're probably wondering, Math A? Does that mean you're better at math than they are? Yes, it does. I am better at math than both of them put together. In lower school, when we had math classes together, I was always about 15 folders ahead of them. That's not nice to say, but it's true. Plus, they were not nice to me first. Anyway, on the day they turned mean, I was watching for them to come through the door to the stairwell together, then wave and hurry over to me, since that's what they usually did. Instead, this time, they came through the door, stopped really dramatically, then Ruthie pointed at me and said, "There's Kat! Run!" Then they both ran from me, down the long hallway. I felt pretty frozen, standing there watching their backs as they laughed and scooted around anyone standing in their way. Is that a joke? I kept thinking. It must be a joke. That's why they're laughing. I had a bad feeling they were laughing at me, even though that made no sense. I couldn't just stand there waiting for them to come back and laugh in my face, so I picked my backpack up off the hall floor. It felt heavier than it ever had in my whole life. And I went to sit down in Spanish. We don't have desks in there. We have three long tables instead, set up in a U that faces the whiteboard, with a bunch of chairs at the tables. There are only eight kids in the class, and way too many chairs, and we don't have assigned seats. I'm giving all these chair details for a reason. Don't get impatient. I was the only person in the whole classroom at that point. I sat in a random chair and pulled a book out of my backpack, any book at all. I didn't even notice what it was, and I started pretending to read. I didn't want to just sit there doing nothing. That would have looked really weird. But I couldn't actually concentrate on a book because I kept hearing Ruthie in my head saying, "There's Cat! Run!" over and over. The first kid who came in was this boy, Max Van Helmond, who started at our school in sixth grade. I barely knew him because we hadn't been in any other classes together. I still thought of him as a new kid. Plus, he's pretty funny looking. His hair is frizzy and covers his eyes, and his skin is very pale, even paler than mine. And he's really skinny. I know looks are a terrible reason not to get to know someone, but I got distracted whenever I looked at him because I kept wanting to trim his hair. Anyway, Max walked in and stopped when he saw me all alone. "Hey," he said, and I said, "Hey, back." Then I went on pretending to read. "Where are Blondie and Glitter?" he asked. That was obviously Amelia. Her hair used to be white blonde, but it's getting darker now, just like her personality. And Ruthie. She's extremely fond of Glitter. In her eyeshadow and lip gloss and nail polish, on her notebook covers, she calls it her signature. I shrugged without looking up from my book.
"You're pretty talented," he said.
I did look up then.
"Not everyone can read upside down."
Turned out I was holding my science textbook upside down. I slammed it shut and shoved it in my backpack and crossed my arms over my chest and definitely did not smile. Max stared without saying anything. Then Glitter Ruthie came in. Again, she stopped and pointed when she saw me. This time she said, "You can't sit there. That's Amelia's seat." "No, it's not," I said. And Max, who turns out to be a fabulous human being, said,
"It's really not."
Again, there were no assigned seats in that Spanish class. We always just sat wherever. Ruthie took her beglittered, freckly self off to the other side of the room and sat. Then she made a big show of pulling out the chair beside her and setting her backpack on it, obviously saving the seat for Amelia, who was definitely in the bathroom brushing her blonde hair. I didn't have to see that to know it. It's her favorite activity. Max took a seat a few spaces down from me. Then the teacher came in and other kids, with Amelia last, her hair, of course, looking very freshly brushed and ridiculously shiny. She sped past me without even looking my way, and I decided I would never again trust anyone with particularly glistening hair. Ever. Our teacher started talking about a new assignment, a presentation on Spanish artists. She never spoke English to us, only Spanish. As soon as she said the word presentación, my heart fell even further, from the bends in my knees to the tips of my toes. That whole year, Amelia, Ruthie, and I had done every single other presentación together. The three of us. I half paid attention to the rest of what Señora Alvarez said while keeping an eye on those two girls. I knew they wouldn't understand her. They never do. They're always asking me to translate. They're basically not the smartest people on the planet. Sure enough, Ruthie started leaning over to ask Ethan Gardner questions. Then when Señora Alvarez told us to break into groups and get started, Ruthie practically shouted at me, "We're doing this project by ourselves, the two of us." "Well, then you're going to fail," I should have shouted back, but my brain had stopped working. I just looked down instead. Then, from the corner of my eye, I noticed Max watching me. "What?" I asked him in a not nice tone. I wasn't trying to be mean, I just didn't want anybody looking at me for a second. My whole body was feeling trembly.
"I don't have a partner," he said. "Want to be partners?"
I nodded without saying anything, and my mouth got all tight, and I had to take some deep breaths.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?